Praise the Lord. I love that. Kind of funny, Craig and I were reading. He was looking off my Bible because he was getting ready to sing. And he said, man, I could probably see that from clear across the room. And the words are pretty big, especially when I see what I used to use, a Thompson Chain reference. But boy, it does help to be able to see. Amen. Amen. Well, I was thinking as Craig was singing, if you think about Jesus and the Bible stories about Jesus and that, I think about Jesus with, for example, with the woman at the well. And she, her life is all kinds of sin and everything. But Jesus saw that she had a great need. And isn't it wonderful that he sees our need? He doesn't focus on all our sin. Well, he tells us we're sinners, but he sees our need. He sees what we need to fix the problem. And you know, there he is at a well, and he says, I have water. I have living water. Amen. She needed her life changed. He didn't get after about all her sin. The Word of God does that. The law does that. But then I was also thinking about the demoniac of Gadara. I mean, here's a guy. Look at the demoniac of Gadara and all the trouble that guy was causing. I mean, they had to let him live in the cemetery because that's where he was most comfortable. They chained him up. They couldn't bind him. And all these things, Jesus doesn't talk about it. He just gets to the problem. Amen. And he's concerned about him. And what a compassion Jesus has. As I was thinking of Craig singing, I thought, you know, that's what we need. We need to follow Jesus. Jesus sees people. We need to, like a song years ago, I remember, we need to see people the way he sees people. And we need to have our hearts right. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Zechariah talks about a people, and they're God's people. And a people that they just didn't really care about what God had to say. And especially in light of what he's saying here in our passage that we just read. In chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother." I'm going to tell you, folks, if we're going to win the world to Christ, we're going to have to show mercy and compassion. Not only to the world, we're going to have to show it to our brothers and sisters. And then he says, "Oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." Well, that's what we're going to have to do. Amen. We are going to have to follow him, like Craig just saying, and have compassion for people. And there are no perfect people. So we're going to have compassion for each other. We're going to have compassion for those around us. But notice what, when he preached that, when that word came to the people, it says they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder. Does that look familiar? You know, Poindexter, go mow the grass. You know, right? And they pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. That reminds me of when we were in at Faith Baptist Church in Bern, Indiana. And Brother Ken Dehas, the one that was killed in a car accident, he was my song leader and my assistant pastor. And he got up to sing one time, and he and I sang many times together, and he sang a lot of solos, had a beautiful voice. And his son Joseph, who now is an assistant pastor at in Port Huron, his son was, I think, 4 or 5 years old, and he was sitting right here on the front pew. And Ken got up to sing a solo one time. And Ken's wife, Kathy, played the piano, and she started in, and Ken started to sing, and Joseph stood up on the front pew and stood there and plugged his ears. Boy, as a parent, you're proud of your kids often. At that point, he was not that proud. And of course, he's singing. What's he supposed to do, you know? "Amazing grace, stop it, Joseph, or I'm going to spank you." You know, you can't do that. But that's exactly what God's people did here. They refused to listen. They said, "We're not going to listen." They pulled away their shoulder. They turned away, and then they stopped their ears that they should not hear. How sad. How sad when we become so hard that we're not going to listen. I don't want to hear it, God. I want to do my thing. I want to do what I want to do. And the Bible says, "Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone." They made their hearts. They chose to ignore God. They chose to say, "You know, I don't care what you have to say, God. I want to do what I want to do." And they They made their hearts hard, like a stone. They chose to ignore God. And by the way, that has a price. We may think, well, what's God going to do? Well, I don't want you to leave here thinking you can just do that and leave here thinking that they could just do that. Because verse 13 says, therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried. And I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts, but I scattered them. You know, I want my prayers to be answered. I want God, and honestly, you may sit here today and say, you know, I got everything going for me. Everything's good. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I really need God to do anything or not. I promise you this, someday you will. I guarantee, and it may just be tomorrow. It's a matter of a phone call. It's a matter of going to work in the morning. It's just any number of things. Any number of things can take place where all of a sudden the reality comes. Hey, wait a minute, God, I need you. And God, honestly, when I called you, what did you do? You turned away from me. Oh, I want God to hear my prayers. I want God to answer my prayers. I want to talk to you about what it says here in verse 12. I want to talk to you about a heart of stone, a heart of stone. Father, bless the preaching, please. Help me to convey the scripture today accurately, and then I pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us and speak to our hearts, and help us, Lord, not to have a heart of stone. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Israel, of course, had turned from God again, and this happened over and over. It's just a perfect picture of the Christian. Honestly, it's you and I. Most here have trusted Christ as Savior. If you're here without Christ, I want you to know Jesus loves you and He'll save you. And if you die today, He wants you to go to heaven. And I want you to go to heaven. Most of the folks here want you to go to heaven. Amen. But you can be saved. You do not have to leave here lost without Christ. But mostly I'm talking to Christians today, as he was here talking to his people. And they just kept running from God. They just kept turning away from God. And eventually it ends up with bondage. And as he said, and with a life where prayer is not answered, where God's blessing, God's hand is not on that life. I want God's hand on my life. I want God's blessing on my life. I want God to use me. I want God to bless me and to bless our church. And yet, here's their key problem right here, and it's summed up very simply, where they had a heart of stone. And the Bible says not only did they have this heart of stone, they made their heart a heart. They chose that. They chose it by turning away when God spoke. They chose it by neglecting His Word, by not reading His Word, by not meditating on His Word, by not listening to His Word, by maybe sitting in church and as God speaks through His Word, tuning Him out and maybe thinking about something else that's going on today, or thinking about other things in our lives, or just saying, you know what? I don't want to hear that. And that's what they did. It often happens to the Christian. It is certainly the trait of an unsaved person, but here, these are his people, and it happens so many times to Christians where we just kind of tune him out. Last Sunday morning, I preached on praise the Lord for his goodness. You know, a heart of stone often comes when we treat the goodness of God wrong. We maybe take credit for all that's happened. We take credit. And therefore, we don't need God. We look at our lives and say, wow, look at all that's happened. And there was a day we begged God to make it all happen. But then it all happened. Somehow we get focused on ourselves instead of on the one who really made it all happen. I often, you know, I look at I watch the offerings constantly. And I'm thanking God all the time. Thank you for blessing our people. God, thank you for giving them overtime. Thank you for helping this person to be able to have this job or that job or making it possible. And because that's how God blesses. That's how He takes care of His church. But somehow you got the idea. You know, well, look what I did. Boy, how foolish we are. Honestly, we are so foolish when we start thinking, look what I did. Well, you say, look what I did. Yeah, but look who gave you the ability to do it. Look who opened the door for you to do it. Look who let your heart keep beating. Look who let your health be strong. Amen. And again, I preached on that last Sunday morning, and I wonder, you know, I wonder how many folks kind of walked out doing this. Sometimes we worship the goodness instead of the one who gave the good. You know, like the children of Israel did with the brazen serpent. You know, instead of saying, God, you're so good to us, and you healed us and you cured us because of our sin, and God, you did this. Instead, they wanted to raise the pole with the brass serpent on it. God said, Nehushtan. You know, the heart of stone comes when we get used to goodness. We just get used to it. I'm serious. It'll open your eyes, honestly, when you just go somewhere else and look around and understand that there's people that don't have what we have. I get concerned about young people that grow up at Berean Baptist Church and they've always had a nice auditorium. They've always had nice, comfortable pews. Well, I don't know how comfortable they are, but they're nice. They've always had air conditioning. At least back there it's working. It's not working so hot up here. They've always had stained glass. They've always had a nice building. They've always had chairs and all those chairs that were set up downstairs, and they get moved and taken places with nice carts. You know, they just kind of grow up with that. And they start getting the idea that, wow, you know, we've got all this. And God starts to speak to us, say, wait a minute, you need me. And it becomes like this. No, I've always had that. Boy, I'll tell you what, when you pray in a chair, amen? Pray in a chair. We started a church. I know exactly how it is. You got to pray for the chair. I remember we'd sit, the two fellas would count the money right after we started our church in Indiana, and the two fellas counted the money, and then I would join them, and I'd say, well, we need to buy a chair. Do we have any money left? You know, we need to buy a songbook. Do we have any money left? Are y'all out there today? Anybody come today? And we had to, literally, we had a baptismal celebration at a pond. And so we had a big picnic at the pond and baptized. And it cost, you know, for a new church, it costs a lot of money. We baptized, I don't know, 10 people that first time. But we had to buy barbecue sauce. And I said, fellas, I said, you know, there's not enough money in the offering to pay for the barbecue sauce. Said, how many? Said, two bottles. I said, well, I guess I'll buy one. Other fellow says, I'll buy one. And the other fellow says, I'm out. That's how we did it. Are y'all listening? But you say, oh, no, we have a kitchen. Well, we have one of the nicest kitchens around. But folks, listen to me. Let's understand something. God's good. Amen. And it's God that does it. And we somehow get this idea that we don't need God, and therefore whatever God says, we don't have to listen. I'm telling you, we do need to listen to God. But what happens is our hearts get hard. Our hearts get hard. I'm serious. I get so concerned when we sing a song about the blood of Jesus Christ or about our salvation or Amazing Grace or something, and folks are just kind of casual. Instead of you, there was a day you were thrilled about that. Amen. Because you thought about it. But you've been so far removed from drugs. You've been so far removed from being an alcoholic. You've been so far removed from your life being down in the sewer. You're far removed from that. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like, well, look what I've done. It's always about what He's done. And it always will be about what He's done. And that's honestly why we get a heart of stone. I'm talking to folks here at Berean Baptist Church. I'm talking to deacons. I'm talking to church members. I'm talking to folks that just visit or come every now and then. I'm talking to bus workers. I'm talking to parents. I'm talking to folks who've had answered prayers and seen great things. And maybe you think you've heard it all, but the truth of the matter is somehow our hearts get to be like a heart of stone. And it is one of the most dangerous things in the world. What does it mean to have a heart of stone? And I just have three things, and they're really, that's maybe the simplest message you've ever heard. What does it mean to have a heart of stone? First of all, it's to have a cold heart. It's to have a cold heart. A heart of stone, it's cold. You know, all that I do in the ministry, everything I do, the studying, the preaching, the teaching, the writing, all those things. I think the hardest thing for me is to keep my heart warm. I think that's the toughest thing. It is so easy to get a cold heart. It's so easy for our hearts to get hard. It's so easy for us to forget how we begged God for things at one time. To forget how we shed tears because we quit shedding tears. How we needed God to do great things and we somehow have forgotten about all that and our hearts get hard and they become cold. It's like coming to church and not just not even smiling. It's like, honestly, I sometimes think, what in the world are we doing? Now, I don't need anybody to run around the building or anything like that. Now, if you want to, go ahead, but wait till church is out. We don't want you swinging from the chandeliers or foaming at the mouth up here. Foam is hard to clean up. But to just rejoice. And to come to church and shake hands with people and say, boy, I'm glad to see you. It's so good to see you. And God says, why don't you be friendly? And you say, na, 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 na. Right?
Pastor, you're nuts.
Praise God. I'm telling you, it's a battle, though. You know, to keep your heart warm. When this is happening, that's happening, and people come and they bring their problems, and many times their problems are each other's. You know, and one person comes in and says, Pastor, this person's a jerk, and that person came in and said, that person's a jerk. And I say, oh, well, let you guys get together and just jerk. You know, you'll get along great. If you could just jerk in the same direction, that'd be wonderful. You know, hey, man, some of you aren't smiling right now. It's like... We see so many great things, honestly. We do. We see people saved every week. Are you listening to me? We see every week we see people saved. Every week. Wednesday nights I read the decision and look here, little Cletus Smith trusted Christ as Savior. And what I'm looking for is people to say, Amen. Praise the Lord. And what I see often is and I think, what? There was a day you would have been happy for Cletus Smith getting saved. And with a name like Cletus, amen. We get used to it. People get baptized. Man, we have so many exciting things with baptism. It's so exciting. We get used to it, right? And what happens? We get a cold heart. Used to be so excited when people get baptized, right? I mean, I could tell you baptism stories that thrill your soul. But you just kind of... It's a cold heart. It's a cold heart. Do you understand? There's folks in this town that have never seen anybody get baptized. There's people go to church week after week, never seen anybody get baptized. Are you listening? But we get a cold heart. We see, always, there's somebody at the altar. Always. Always. And I don't give general altar calls. If you're breathing, come forward. I don't do that. Wait, check and see if there's a pulse. Come forward if there is. I don't do that. We have very direct altar calls most of the time. And people come because people, God's working in their lives. Do you know there's folks that have never seen an altar call? Never seen a soul at the altar. There's folks week after week after week. And most of those churches just quit having altar calls. Now, I'll be honest with you. You know, the pastor, well, I don't agree at all, but you, seriously, you can't blame the pastor. The people are going to sit there and... Because I'm going to tell you, most pastors, they work pretty hard on a message. They believe they're preaching what God wants them to preach. They beg God for his power and beg God to work. And you have to think God's working on somebody, but it's kind of like... And they don't listen. Because there's cold hearts. You say, how do you know about it? Because I've had it before. That's why I'm scared to death of it. I don't want to. You don't want a pastor with a cold heart. Oh, we can't have deacons with cold hearts. You know. Oh, we could not have a bus worker with a cold heart. But we all have to fight it. But everybody has to fight it. It's a heart of stone. It's a cold heart. It's when everything becomes routine. It's when God answers prayer and it's just routine. Somebody gives a testimony. Well, I just want to praise God. He paid our electric bill and we have electricity. Hallelujah. And everybody just says, ugh. Why wouldn't you be excited about that? We'd have kids give prayer requests and they'd say, pray for my pet turtle. You know, you say, what do? I pray for the pet turtle. You ought to hear my prayer for a pet turtle. The best thing is when I pray for cats. I got one bus kid, her cat, it's got to have problems. Because constantly she's bringing a prayer, says, pray for my cat. And I said, what's wrong with your cat? She said, my cat's sick. And you know what I'm thinking. But no, I had one little girl, one time she said, Pastor, will you pray with me for my cat? And so we bowed our heads. I said, oh God, help her cat. Amen. Now she's thrilled about somebody praying for her cat. Well, guess what? I'm thrilled that she's thrilled. And I constantly go to God with my little prayer requests. I get them on Wednesday night from our bus kids and our church kids. And little prayer requests. Pray for this, pray for that. Word spelled wrong. I got to try to interpret it sometimes. But I'm always saying, oh God, thank you. These kids believe there's a God in heaven that'll hear their prayer and will answer their prayer. And oh God, help our adults think it and know it. Because he is a God that will answer your prayer. Amen. But we just kind of... Oh, man, you used to get stirred up about God doing things. And then it just, you know, you used to, when you think of the cross, you'd get a tear in your eye, and now it's kind of... Lord's Supper tonight, you know, for some it'll be like, just another thing. It's not. It's not. This do in remembrance of me. It's so easy to become cold. It shouldn't be, but it is. We just got through the resurrection time that we talk about the resurrection of Christ, and I just wonder how many folks, you know, you let some little floppy-eared thing take his place. You get more excited about hiding Easter eggs somewhere than you do about Jesus resurrecting from the dead. Oh, goody, goody, we get to color eggs. Oh, boy. It's so easy to become cold. Remember how you used to get stirred up about things of God? You used to be excited about the things of God. And now it's just, oh, well. Remember when you heard about salvation? Remember when you got excited because you found out you could actually have a part in telling people about Jesus? And you found out that we had a track rack. You said, hey, I want to pass out some. So we have a rack down there that has tracks in it. You can take a whole bunch, take as many as you want and pass them out. Me? I can do that? Now talk about it and you're, nah, 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 nah. Right? I know. Cold heart. You say, preacher, it's Sunday morning. Back off. Well, I got two more points. You heard about salvation, you got excited, you heard about the rapture, you looked up at the sky, now we don't even look. Jesus is coming! And when we walk out to our cars, all we'll think about is our guts growling. Instead of looking up thinking, wonder what that's going to be like. I don't know, when I think of the rapture, I think about a church service and the rapture taking place and what all is going to be left behind. You know, we have some people say, oh, your clothes are going to be left behind. It's going to be nice and folded and neat and clean. And I think, well, I don't want to go up naked. But I do wonder about all the people coming in and seeing all the little clothes all folded up nice and cleaning. I don't think it's going to be like that person. But glasses, dentures. Amen. You know, can you imagine? I mean, seriously, the rapture, come on, join in. It'll be okay. The rapture, you used to be excited about it, right? You used to actually think about it, but now it's like, oh, I don't know about that. But can you imagine, seriously, and I don't know who all does it, but just imagine glasses are left behind. Amen. Not going to need them. Contacts. So where somebody, there's two contacts right there. You know, just spread head size right there on the seat. Amen. Dentures right there. I mean, for some folks, it'll be a whole body pretty much. Amen. Good. Some of you are smiling. It's still, but that's okay. You know, don't get a cold heart. Beg God that your heart doesn't get cold. Seriously. I mean, really, the rapture, what a wonderful thing. It used to thrill your soul to think about it. You used to sing and be happy. You used to thrill at the songs. You didn't worry about hitting all the notes right. You just got up and blessed God just sang. Amen. I mean, seriously, when we, Brenda and I started going to church, I mean, we didn't sing God's song. We didn't know God's song. She did a little bit, but I didn't know any of it, and it was all new to me. And the first time I sang Amazing Grace, I didn't just sing Amazing Grace. I thought about the words, and I thought, this is pretty good. I got to the part about it saved a wretch like me, and I thought, ooh, who wrote that? That isn't very nice. But boy, anymore, I know that's what it is. Amen. And I used to, you know, used to thrill to come to church, and now it's, I guess we gotta go to church. No wonder your kids feel the way they do about church. Oh, it's so quiet. Amen. Your heart, it's getting cold. And that is a heart of stone. Here's why all the entertainment churches are booming. Because they're getting entertained. You know, Pastor, you're just not. No, I'm not a go-go dancer. I'm not. If I started stripping, you'd be out of here. I guarantee you, it isn't going to do a thing for you. Huh? You know? I'm serious about this thing. You know, we got to bring the praise team out here. But they're never fat old men. Hello? Come on, folks. It's okay. It's all right. We're still a Baptist church. Amen. We just have, here's what we offer. We offer the truth from the Word of God. And that ought to thrill your soul. It ought to make us thrilled. But when our hearts get cold, you know, with the little children, we have Vacation Bible School, and we do a little, that's the most entertainment we do. Huh? Do you need Captain Courageous on a Sunday morning? Do you need Private Poindexter? Hello? Do you need Sergeant Slaughter to whip you into shape? Come on, folks. I got Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. The rapture could take place at any time. There's going to be a trumpet and a shout, and I'm gone. And I'm going to leave behind my watch, my ring, my belt. I don't know, probably this microphone. I don't think I'm going to need that. My glasses, my ink pen. Did you notice my white cross ink pen because they didn't have silver? Somebody said I look like a sissy. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to leave it all behind, amen. I don't want to have a cold heart. I don't want to have a cold heart. I don't want to have a heart of stone. Number two, what else is a heart of stone? It's a hard heart. Not just a cold heart, but a hard heart. The Bible says here in Zechariah, it's like an adamant stone. That is the hardest stone. The heart, it's so hard. I find myself having to ask God, please, God, soften my heart. What do you mean? Well, it's just exactly what happened to the people here. God spoke to them and said, show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. You know, it's like a security team. One of the biggest things I'm going to have to do is say, fellas, listen to me. You are going to have a soft heart, not a hard heart. Yeah. They're trying to break. I remember we had people, somebody broke into the church. Remember that a couple years ago, whenever that was? And somebody broke into church, stole a bunch of stuff, broke windows and everything. And I had people say, yeah, I'm going to sit out here with my gun. Let them do it again. I had one fella, he's not here anymore, but one fella said, I hope they come back. I'm thinking, why? Sit out there with your New Testament. You might carry a gun too, so he has to listen. But I'm just saying, why do you want to blow somebody's brains out? People say, well, you know, the guy, the drunk that came to my front porch, remember that? And he banged on the door at 2 o'clock in the morning, scared us to death. And I had, you know, somebody said, I wish it had been my house. Why? I got my shotgun. Well, I can tell you this, the fella got saved. I'm glad it was my house. I'm glad, you know, honestly, I had a pistol right there in the, well, you shouldn't know that. I do know where it is. I just don't know where the bullets are. I'm like Barney Fife, only I don't even have one. I think David took all the bullets. I think he stole everything out of the house. But anyway, I've got other, I don't even know where all the other stuff is. But we might have a tank somewhere in the garage. I wouldn't know because I can't see anything in the garage. It's buried. But But you know, the truth of the matter, I thank God several times. I said, God, I'm so glad he came to my house. Amen. I'm so glad he did. I wasn't glad that night. I was terrified. My wife's going to go downstairs. She runs, starts to go downstairs, says, I'm gonna see who... And all of a sudden, he kicked the door, and she came flitting back up and said, what am I thinking? I said, I don't know what you're thinking. I called the police. But where was your heart, preacher? My heart was on a soul that is drunk. And he's so drunk, he's trying to break into my house. And he's so messed up in his life that he doesn't know where his house is. Are you listening? Now that's a soul that needed Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to be super pious or anything, but that's where my heart was. And that's where I want my heart to be. I don't want a hard heart. I don't want to, yeah, I know what's going on. I know they're after Christians all over the place and our rights, and we ought to vote right and all that kind of stuff. But let's never get so hard that we hate sinners. Amen. There's so many folks that you know, I ought to be mad at, but instead I'm not. I feel sorry for them. I want to help them. And you got to keep that soft heart. I got to pray. First person I led to the Lord was a 12-year-old black fella in a project down in Pensacola, Florida. I'll never forget it. The thrill of leading a soul to Jesus Christ. That young man bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. But it's still a thrill to me. Amen. Why? Because I beg God to keep my heart soft. You know, my first baptism in the pond and fish were biting me on the legs. Never forget it. Never forget it. But I'm still thrilled. I got to baptize one of my converts down in Barbados. We went the first time, led a fellow to the Lord. And when we went back with the senior trip, I got to baptize him in the Atlantic Ocean. Boy, that's a fun story. Patty especially likes that story. But what a blessing it was to baptize a fella in the Atlantic. He baptized me. Amen. And yet, what a thrill to baptize a little girl just the other day in the baptistry with three little centipede silverfish things floating in the baptistry, trying to hide it from her. It was fun. She got in. I'm, you know. Amen. I baptized a girl one time. She got in the tank, standing there, and as soon as she was right in front of me, there was this huge black spider on her shoulder. Never forget it. And I don't like spiders. And there I am, and there she is, and there's the spider. He looks at me with his eight eyes. And I gazed at him with my two eyes, thinking, what in the world am I going to do? And in one swift motion, I whacked the spider off. She had no idea, and it flew across the baptistry, didn't land in the water. That was the goal, because I couldn't imagine her opening her mouth and the spider going in. And, you know, it's just fun. It's fun. It's exciting. There's nothing more fun. And baptizing, you know, because some folks never get to see anybody get baptized. And look, we get to see it all the time. Praise God. I'm asking, is your heart getting hard? Where those kind of, well, I don't want to hear about that kind of stuff. Have a soft heart for people's lives. Somebody gets saved and then they get baptized. What a joy. Amen. Where's our compassion for people? We have the answer. I don't care what the problem is. Where's our compassion? We're watching a new crop. Every summer there's a new crop of neighbors, you know, because a lot of rentals around here. And they find our playground out here. And oh, it's a whole new group. I mean, it was a Wednesday night or it was a Sunday night. And there was a whole baseball game going on out in the soccer field. My first reaction is, don't they know we have church? You know, I'm going to be the sheriff out there. All right, we got church in here. But last night, I don't know, 15 kids probably on the playground, all a whole new crop. And Mrs. Rogers, she calls them all together and gives them tracts and says, you ought to come to our church. And they say, we do. We ride the Bailey's bus, you know. And praise God. You know why? Because we can help them. Amen. We know that. We can help them. Not because we're right and everybody else is wrong, but we have the truth. Praise God. And honestly, you know, I remember the first time I went forward because God convicted me about something. It was about giving to Faith Promise Missions. I can still see it. I gave $5 a week. That was my pledge way back years ago. And it was so exciting to say yes to God. You know, it still is. It still is. Conviction is still exciting to me. But you know, a hard heart, it pushes that all aside. I don't want to hear it, God. Hey, when's the last time you came forward, prayed about something? God spoke to your heart, or did you plug your ears? You know? I had somebody recently, I said, yeah, you might come to church and get convicted. And they said, I don't get convicted anymore. It's like, and that's a positive thing? That's something good? You think that's good? I don't think that's good at all. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit deals with me. I'm so glad when I'm going the wrong way, He helps me get on the right way. Amen. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to step into a pit. I don't want to trip and fall. I don't want to mess my life up and ruin it. I need Him to keep convicting me. But if my heart gets hard like a stone, I just push it aside. That's what so many do. As it says here, they refuse to hear. Do you get mad at preaching and just refuse to hear? What about your heart toward other people as it was here in Zechariah? What about your heart toward lost people? What about your heart toward people here? They parked in my spot. How can you even tell anybody has a spot? We'll get that fixed this summer, but just park. Our hearts get hard. Why does a parking spot even matter?
That's my pew.
Yeah, nobody has a certain pew. In fact, I remember one time we've had teenagers park in the spot that says pastor. I didn't shoot them or anything. Gave them demerits. No, I didn't. I had people sit in my chair up here. Oh, I just want to see what. Oh, okay, that's what you have to do. Real quick, Jeremiah 23:29. Just about done. Jeremiah 23. That's the first time some of you thought amen. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? Wouldn't that warm up our hearts if they're cold? It would, God's word. But then it says this, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. That'd deal with a hard heart, wouldn't it? Sure. It's the word of God. That's why we preach the word. That's why we're not going to have an entertainment committee. Amen. That's why we're not going to have the praise team come out and do a little dance for you to keep you entertained. We're just going to preach the word of God. Amen. Amen. Just keep right on preaching. Keep right on singing the old songs. Amen. Amen. And just do it. Just do it the way that we believe pleases God. We get a hard heart. It's a heart of stone. And then the last thing, not only is the heart of stone a cold heart and a hard heart, but it's also obviously a fruitless heart because it's a stone. You ever see leaves on a stone? Now, I'm not talking about mold or moss, but there's no leaves. There's no fruit from the stone. There's no buds on the stone. It's just a fruitless heart. It reminds me of Matthew 13:5. It talks about the word of God being the seed, and some fell on stony places. There's no way to take root, therefore there would be no fruit. And you know, the fruit of the Christian, the Bible says, it's a tree of life. We're supposed to bring forth life from our life. What kind of life? Spiritual life. Yeah, it's people are supposed to get saved as a result of us. Hello? That should be the result of my life. It's somebody getting saved. Maybe not everybody gets saved, but somebody ought to be getting saved. I ought to be giving out tracts. I ought to be telling people. I ought to be smiling and be rejoicing and praising the Lord and all those kind of things. And God, obviously, He's in charge of bringing forth the fruit. He's the vine. We're just branches. What are we supposed to do as a branch? We're supposed to have some fruit. Now, I'm not talking about people being fruity. I'm just talking about fruit, and the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And how sad. That's my purpose. That's why He left me here once I got saved. Would I have been better off if He'd have just taken me to heaven? Oh, amen. But He left me here. Why? Bring forth fruit. Yeah, nowhere does it say He left me here to have fun. But I'm having a lot of fun. Can you tell? I look like I'm out funning you. A lot of you, it's like, I get that look often. It's scary. I ask God, God, help me not to pay attention, you know, to the faces people make. And so God took away my sight. I quit asking that. I do want to keep hearing all the negative things. No. But how sad that our purpose, bringing forth fruit, is because our hearts become hard and they become cold and it becomes a heart of stone. And that's why we're so miserable, honestly. And you want to blame church and you want to blame, you know, everybody, and you want to, and it's examine your heart today. Examine your heart. You know, is church just same old thing? You used to be excited. You used to be thrilled. Is your heart, has it become cold? Has it become hard where there's no compassion? You know, honestly, how about the time when you brought visitors and you wanted God to do something in their life? Remember those days? And you were so excited. Remember? I can't ever talk about this without thinking about Sheila Barmore down in Louisiana. And when she got saved and got right with God and wanted to live for God, and start, she'd sit right here and she'd bring her visitors front pew. And always before this, she'd say, Pastor, what are you preaching on? Only she talked like this. Pastor, what are you preaching on today? I'd say, well, I'm preaching. She said, no. My visitors are here, and they are. And she'd name what religion. She said, you need to talk about that. I said, well, I'll try to work it in. She sat on the edge of the pew and looked at him every now and then. Remember when church was exciting like that? You know, and maybe I'd say something about, some, you know, and you need to read your Bible. And she'd look over at him, you know. And she's on the edge of her pew. And the invitation, she couldn't wait for the invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes, she's ready. You know, she's watching him the whole time. Remember, you used to be like that. All right. But again, it's a fruitless heart. And you're not going to be happy unless you're bringing forth fruit. I was trimming Friday, the other day, whatever day it was, and I was out there trimming everything. I got to looking, and Clark Bennett, you know, he's going to be back soon. Get ready. And Clark bought that tree out there. The one died, and that little tree out there, I can't remember what kind of tree that is, but the little tree, it's about like this. And I thought, you know, he's not going to be happy if that doesn't have some buds on it. And I got to looking at all the, and I don't see anything. It looks like it's got problems. You need to go pray. We brought a couple of plants over from our house that have taken over the house, and we moved them into the school because there's more room. And I found out that one of those plants, and I used to give those plants a hard, I used to think they were trying to kill me, honestly. But one of them got moved into one of the rooms, and I found out that the kindergarten kids circled it and were singing to it. Okay, Amy, we need those kids to get out by that little tree there and sing to it, all right? Because I think it needs help. I'm worried that it's not going to work out. But you know what needs help more than that? Is the fruitless lives. Because of a heart. A heart that has become hard and cold and fruitless. By the way, the fruit. What else are you missing out on by having that heart that is fruitless? Well, you're missing out on Galatians 5, and it's all stuff people come and say, Pastor, this is what I need in my life. And I'm just about done. Galatians 5 and verse 22. It says the fruit of the Spirit. See, you're missing out on the fruit of the Spirit when your heart becomes hard. The fruit of the Spirit's love. You're missing out on love. Joy. Missing out on joy. Peace. You're missing out on peace. Long suffering. That's putting up with people. Amen. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's pretty good stuff. And most of us, honestly, if we had that in our lives, we'd be a whole different person. Instead, when we come to church and somebody says, hey, how you doing? We'd say, man, I'm doing great. How you doing? Instead, it's how you doing? You ever have somebody say, ugh? But it's just a matter of letting God change that heart. He can. He will. If you just let him. Ezekiel 11:19. I close with this. Four or five people smiled for the first time the whole service when I just said that. Ezekiel 11. Now that's, I'm just kidding about that. Brother Dave's smiling the whole time. I think did you just turn 34 today? Wow. He's old. But I can't really talk about him being old, because if he's old, I'm older. Look what it says, Ezekiel 11:19, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh." That means it can have life. Amen. And God can do that if you just let him. David said, create a new heart. Amen. He had to get right with God. Oh, listen to me. Our hearts. Don't have a heart of stone today. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Nobody's talking. Nobody's looking around. I wonder how many would be honest today and say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. No doubt about it. I'm a Christian and I know it." Raise your hand if you know that today. You know you're saved. Thank you. God bless you. That's such a wonderful sight. All the time, just such a great sight. Is there someone that'd say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me." Raise your hand. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Not sure. Not sure. God's speaking to your heart about it. I wonder how many would say, "I am a Christian. I am saved, but God has spoken to my heart about my heart today. Please pray for me." Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. All over. Just slip it up. Thank you. God bless you. God bless many, many, many folks. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Father, help us to have right hearts today. God, help us to not let our hearts get hard. It is so easy for us. We're so prone to wonder. And God, we need to love each other, and we need to love people, and we need to love sinners, and we need to love you, God. And know that whatever you speak to us about is something that we need to act upon and not hesitate. Please, please work on our hearts today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.